Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Steve Vaughn also in studio, a couple of homeschooling dads. Analyzing what's going on in our world around us by way of a biblical worldview. Friends, if you don't apply God's truth, then you're going to be let loose in a wilderness of relativism in which, well, ultimately, there is no basis for ethics, and so therefore, you're going to see a massive amount of incoherency and contradictions in the way that people view right and wrong. So let's get back to the basics of God's law to determine what is right and wrong in a society in which, well, seems like everything's topsy-turvy, and what is just, what is right, what is wrong is pretty much up for grabs, and nobody has much of a concept. What is right and wrong in a society in which relativism is pretty much gone mainstream? Okay, well, given that introduction, Steve, here's an interesting story that I think ties into what we just said at multiple levels. It's an Iowa man who was sentenced to 15 years in prison for stealing a homosexual flag, a rainbow flag, technically not a homosexual flag, but a flag that had rainbow colors on it, and he burned it. And this guy,
and he was given 15 years.
15 years, that's right. Adolfo Martinez appeared to be something of a minority. So Adolfo Martinez, something of a minority, who lived in Ames, Iowa, ripped off this rainbow flag and he burned it. And now he's getting 15 years for this thing. Now, on the one hand, I understand that it is an ultimate blasphemy to deface anything that symbolizes the homosexual lifestyle. So I get that. I understand that the ultimate orthodoxy of the day, the religion of the day, the highest form of divinity in our day is homosexual sexuality. So I understand that. So if anybody was to deface a symbol that stood for the homosexual lifestyle, they're going to get the book thrown at them. Now, this was the property of others. Now, no question, this guy stole this flag. But, you know, I just checked it out online, Steve, and I'm not sure if this was a poly version, a waterproof poly version of the flag. If it was a waterproof poly version of the flag, then it would have been $8. If it had been an embroidered flag, that is, you know, a more expensive flag, it would have probably cost the church $30. By the way, it was a liberal church that was displaying this this rainbow flag, evidently advertising their support for homosexual forms of sexuality. So not sure why churches are doing this, except for the fact that there's an apostasy that seemed to have been common in some of the churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2, where Jezebel shows up and encourages different forms of sexual immorality and so forth. So evidently churches are doing this kind of thing around the nation. So this guy, this minority fellow from Ames, Iowa, ripped off the flag, valued at either $8 or $30, gets 15 years for his pains. Now, the bottom line is this guy is engaged in an ineffectual crusade. And by the way, I watched his interview with local media, and he used foul language in the interview. He's a poster child for somebody nobody really wants to do any favors for. So I get that as well. I would say generally this guy, Adolfo Martinez, would be perceived as a rather despicable fellow. That's based upon the language he used in the interview. So he's using, you know, offensive, foul language in this local interview that he did with local media. And he was said to have frequented a strip joint as well. So he's breaking the seventh commandment himself. So there's something of a hypocrisy about him, something of a foulness about his language and so forth. So, you know, you can see that this guy is something of a despicable character, at least perceived that way by the community. And so the trial goes the wrong direction. He gets 15 years in the slammer for violating the property of others. valued at, what was it, $8? Now, here's...
$8 or $30, yeah.
Here's one of the catch on this. Ames taxpayers, including the people attending this liberal church, are going to be socked with approximately $450,000 of upkeep for this guy over the next 15 years. So, you know, this is one of the most amazing indications of the abandonment of God's law on about 18 different levels.
Yeah, this reminds me, actually, in about, it was like 1995, where some lady picked up some bald eagle feathers and made a dream catcher for Hillary Clinton, and that ended up getting investigated. There was an undercover investigation. This lady ended up getting fined $1,200 for using endangered bird feathers that she found. You know, it's a little bit different, but my goodness, how times have changed, where you go from getting fined $1,200 for finding bald eagle feathers up to now 15 years and $400,000+ for burning a homosexual flag or a rainbow flag.
They've definitely jacked up the punishment for those who are politically incorrect and getting, you know, an F- on the politically correct test. Yeah, they're definitely socking it to this guy. 15 years. Now, apparently he did something like this, burned something else in public once or twice before. So, you know, they took that into consideration. I'm not sure he's, you know, ever burned down a house or anything super serious like that. But what he has done is he has violated God's law in the sense that he steals. Evidently, he must be violating God's laws in terms of the language he uses, in terms of his frequenting a strip joint. So there must be some other violations of God's law. But the thing that Christians need to understand is it's not every violation of God's law that would warrant a civil trial or put him down for a criminal trial and then something of imprisonment for any of these things. I don't see that in God's law. I see this to be something of a manifestation of the tyrannical regulative state that has been pretty constant in terms of its increase in involvement in the lives of our citizenry for many, many, many years. In fact, it seems to be on the increase. And it is amazing that this guy is going to be in prison for 15 years. And it's true. He was not apologetic at all. I'd do it again, he said. And so, you know, they're going to keep him in prison for 15 years for this. And that's going to cost Ames, Iowa taxpayers some $450,000 to keep this guy up, which is perhaps the ultimate irony in all of this. But here's the other thing that I think people need to understand, that, okay, so you have a guy who appears to be socially despicable in terms of his language, in terms of the sorts of things that he does, but he hasn't done anything warranting a super long prison term or in some cases perhaps capital punishment. He has not done anything warranting that on the basis of God's laws. You know, Steve, I was on a jury once, and it turned out to be an all-white jury. The defendant was of a certain skin pigment color that was not in line with the rest of us on the jury. And also, this defendant was of a rather low income class. Okay. So, different skin pigment color, of rather low income class. And so, I am adjudicating this case, and there was no way, by biblical law or by the law of the state, the evidence was not there to convict her of drunk driving. All right. Now, she wasn't even driving the car. And there was no way that I could convict her of the charge. No way. Absolutely no way. Okay? Now, it turned out that the rest of the jury wanted to throw the book at her. And the line was, just look at her. She's guilty. Okay? But I single-handedly hung the jury for this poor woman. Now, I don't care about the income background. I don't care if the guy's a lowlife or appears to be a lowlife. If he hasn't committed a crime worthy of 15 years in jail, I'm not convicting him of the crime worthy of 15 years in jail. And I think Christians, above all, need to have that mindset. And by the way, I think we need to talk about jury nullification on matters like this as well. So what we're seeing here is the absence of any sense of justice in the minds of Americans who are throwing the book at a guy for burning a flag and giving him 15 years. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you as we talk about a biblical worldview as it applies to the civil magistrate and it applies to prisons. As it turns out, prisons are not biblical. Restitution is biblical. Now, if this guy was doing the right thing, and if the courts were going to do the right thing, the courts would assign this guy who burned a flag valued at $9 to pay back the property he had destroyed to the tune of maybe $27, three, four times the value of the thing that was stolen. And friends, that could be taken care of in one afternoon. It wouldn't take 15 years to accomplish that. But as America turned away from a biblical world and life view, as America saw the wrong view of human nature and began to think that somehow human nature was reformable by way of secular education, America turned away from God's law and then turned to silliness, which is what is happening now. Not just silliness, but injustices in many cases. In American God's Providence, chapter 67, I deal with the abandonment of God's law and the construction of tyranny and the gradual increase of tyranny, especially in the modern age. America now has 25% of the world's prison population, making up only 5% of the world's population. That is, America has five times the rate of people in prison. America is the prison planet. America is the largest incarcerator in the world today. So if you're looking for a gulag, if you're looking for a country that imprisons its citizenry, that would be the United States, more than any other nation around the world. There has been a 700% increase in the incarceration rate since 1970, largely because juries and judges are convicting guys of crimes of stealing $30 worth in value and putting them in prison for 15 years and assigning the taxpayers to a $650,000 price tag for it. All right, this is craziness. Steve, this boils down to what I would call the do-gooders of the 19th century. The do-gooders of the 19th century came out of a rejection of the doctrine of total depravity. A rejection of the idea that man's heart is depraved and he cannot be reformed in a fundamental sense but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I think people forgot that. They abandoned a basic biblical approach to the nature of man and then wound up with these do-gooder socialist programs and prison reforms and other welfare reforms and such, as well as public schools that produce the socialist state that we're dealing with today. That is, these are the do-gooders. They're the same guys who want to throw a guy in prison for 10 years for the possession of cocaine. These are the same do-gooders that want to throw a guy in prison for 15 years for burning a homosexual symbol. It's just the do-gooder. It's the idea that somehow, if we just put him in prison, maybe that will reform him.
Yeah.
Now, I would say the best part of prisons are prison ministries, and I'm thankful for those brothers that are and sisters that are in prison ministries. I've been in prisons working ministries. My daughter has been there working a ministry in the past, and but I think what people don't understand is that this salvation by government just simply can't happen. Man is not reformable by education. You can't regenerate his heart by simply putting him through social programs. You cannot reform him fundamentally by education, by public education. It just isn't going to happen. And so what happens with this reformation by education is we have a minimization of the gospel in the minds of the church, and then you get these social gospelites that aren't interested in the power of the gospel and the transformation of sinners, and the end result is just a spiraling of all of society into a more extensive prison planet, which is what we're dealing with right now in the United States.
Yeah, it comes down to, you know, what you're saying. They've abandoned God. And if we take a look at who God is, just at least what we know of God, a little bit of it, that we know that God is the author of life. He's the author of all knowledge and all wisdom. And so when you abandon that God, you're abandoning life. And when you abandon life, we call that death. And when you abandon wisdom, we call that folly. When you abandon knowledge, we call that idiocy. And so that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing the death of society. We're seeing the ignorance and the folly of man because they're not looking to God for the things that only God can give. And that's why we're seeing these really stupid, you know, 15-year penalty for burning a homosexual symbol, the 10-year penalty for possession of something that, you know, if he used the cocaine and killed somebody, different story. But possession, 10 years, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, according to the clear dictate of biblical law and the wise dictate of biblical law, you don't put a guy in prison for 10 years and then fine the innocent populace $300,000 for his upkeep for 10 years. Friends, that doesn't happen in a biblical approach. Yeah, if the guy is under the influence of cocaine, backs over a kid in the parking lot and kills him, then now you're under the law relating to negligence, gross negligence, the bull that's wont to push his horn, and the guy is subject to the death penalty. So the Bible presents serious, serious penalties for serious crimes, but it doesn't regulate the living daylights out of everybody over every little tiny infraction that the do-gooder socialists will come up with. Friends, that's the problem with a socialist society that rejects a basic biblical perspective of the nature of man. Criminal law, civil law has a limited effect on society, but it does have an effect. And yes, there is a role for the civil magistrate to put the murderer to death who's been convicted on the basis of two witnesses or three witnesses. So there's absolutely a role for the civil magistrate, but that's a very, very, very limited role. Why? Because the civil magistrate is incapable of doing anything but assigning serious, serious penalties to serious crimes, but not this regulative thing. The idea that somehow you can reform society by regulating the living daylights out of every business, out of every person, out of every family, out of every church, is ridiculous. Man is not reformable by education. He's reformable by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only going to be by the preaching of the gospel in our communities that we will see substantial change. We cannot solve problems by politics. We can hedge them in ever so slightly by putting a murderer to death on occasion. But friends, governments are just incapable of doing any good for the most part. We cannot solve problems by politics. We can solve problems by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you'll begin to see some marginal and substantial, significant improvements in society at large to the extent that the gospel gets out, to the extent that people can preach the word of God through the media, through street preaching, through schools, and through the church. If there's no preaching of the gospel, friends, we're not going to see any significant change or even marginal change in human society. It's going to happen. It's going to happen by the preaching of the word of God. Praise God for prison ministries and other means by which this is accomplished. But let's remember that we're not going to solve society's problems. We're not going to get to the fundamental root of society's problems unless the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented and people begin to realize that our problems are not just social problems. Our problems are not just environmental problems, problems caused by our social inputs. No, no, no. Our problems are much more significant than that, much, much deeper, much more fundamental than that. Our problems are that we have a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and we need the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, to come to die on the cross for our sins, to rise from the dead for our justification, and we need the gospel preached everywhere, that men and women would receive this and their lives would be transformed, families transformed, societies transformed. Governments can do very little. In fact, we need to strip government back big time to the limits that God has provided in his word. And that's primarily going after the murderers, stopping abortion, and providing capital punishment for those who have committed murder. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I encourage you to our book, The Story of Freedom, which presents a biblical worldview perspective of the civil magistrate. It's called The Story of Freedom as a workbook that goes along with it. We recommend it for a high school level course, but it is an exciting story of how the Christian influence has provided for freedom in the Western world over the last 700 years. That story included in the book, The Story of Freedom, and of course, a biblical view of the civil magistrate included in this little book called The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.